Well, before we get into another Animal Bazaar, Titus O'Reilly here. And of course, if you love things to get bizarre, you can join Bazaar Plus. It's our membership program. If you join, you get an extra podcast every week. That's three a week. What more could you want? You also get access to our members-only chat room, and you get access to tickets to our live shows before they go on sale to everyone else. Bazaar Plus, our membership program. The link is in the show notes. We'd love to have you on board.
Across the Arctic, the Sahara, the Amazon, and the car park behind the local pub.
What's that, Skip? The chopper pilot sleeping with my wife.
It's an expedition for the strangest.
Fish are throwing up mice.
Cryptocurrency trading hamster.
I'd turn up to cockfights with an ostrich.
Most unbelievable.
Cicadas having massive sex party.
Woman breastfeeds cat on flight.
Animal stories ever.
Bees chasing guy jumps into the lake and then gets eaten by piranhas. Now, he may have pulled the wrong rein here.
It's time for Mick Molloy and Titus O'Reilly.
The shallow end of the pool.
Remember, always fact check what we say on this program.
To don their safari suits and pith helmets.
Lion.
Check.
Elephant.
Check.
African buffalo.
Don't be ridiculous.
This is...
Release the dash out.
Animal Bazaar.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of Animal Bazaar.
You talk to me about bad intros. No, but when I do Sports Bazaar, that one seemed to take you by surprise.
Well, can I tell you why? Because I was admiring, and you can't see it, but anyone who's YouTubing us can see we've got an Animal Bazaar backdrop.
Yes.
And it's got Animal Bazaar. It's got a little crest. It seems to be set in a fernery.
It's just a jungle.
It doesn't look jungly to me.
Where do you think ferns come from?
It looks like we're at the botanical gardens. Don't you reckon? And then, as for our motif, if you look at that closely, it's a pig and a seagull.
And a penguin.
A pig and a penguin.
Yeah, two of our comedy animals.
Two comedy animals.
It's like you've seen this for the first time.
Yeah, you
ticked off on this year.
Is that like a coat of arms?
Only you can tick off on something and then come back later with fresh eyes of someone who's never seen it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the original idea we would do this in pith helmets and safari suits?
that is something we are still...
Is it too late for that?
It's not too late. It's something that's...
If you're listening to this, imagine us sitting around in pith helmets or, you know, the safari hats that have got the...
Yeah, your legionnaires. There's
how good would that be?
Nothing looks more like a legionnaire than you and I.
So anyway,
well,
are you happy with that? Are you?
Yeah, I am happy with it. You're not happy with it.
And what's the brown for? Why is it brown? Could it be more dynamic?
It's safari colours.
Should be like tropical. There should be something tropical, like a tropical.
This isn't like Graphic Design Bazaar where we critique our... in front of the audience.
Could we get some of the audience to maybe send us some designs? Look, I can see some greenery over there.
Yeah, some ferns behind me.
So you've covered up our Sports Bazaar set with a bit of greenery.
And we've got a koala and a kangaroo, but they are ones holding cricket bats, so they work for both. Look, it's a podcast. No one's like tuning in for the visuals.
Well, luckily.
Luckily.
That's all I'm saying. So that's like a hothouse.
You tick this off and now are acting like...
Oh, that one. I don't know if I was at that meeting.
Yeah. I have the receipts. I have the email trail. This is outrageous.
I'm not complaining. I'm just...
I think you were complaining. I think it's... When someone says, oh, I'm not complaining, that means they're really angry.
We need someone.
What would you do differently?
I'd like to incorporate... Okay, here's my... I'm just spitballing.
Yeah,
I'm seeing... the dogs playing poker and maybe you and me at the table.
Well, I don't think they do a series of you and I being put into famous animal scenes. That'd be a good way to do it.
Like the scene from The Lion King.
One of us could be holding up the other. Oh, my God, that would be terrible.
And the pig and penguin.
We could do Finding Nemo.
I thought it may have been
Finding
one of the-
Mickey.
But in Nemo, you know, those fish aren't very nice.
The clown fish. In real life, you mean they're not very nice?
Yeah, I think they do something mean. Because someone said...
You've sent Sarah out of the room to run another errand.
Hey, I know we've talked about this and the octopus is punching, but have you seen the latest footage?
Of an octopus punching
of an octopus punching a fish. Where scientists have established that we talked about this.
Yeah, they do it for no reason.
They do it for no reason than their own amusement. And there's this footage and there's an octopus that's disguised itself with camouflage in the rocks, and a fish just comes flying past, and then whooshka, bang. It's like a karate kick, and it just takes the fish by surprise. It doesn't know what hit it. God, it's good.
If we're free of graphic design discussion.
Now it's distracting me. Go, what do you got?
All right, I thought I'd kick off today with the stories I found, because I've been holding these off since you've been in Colombia and now you're back. This happened in Yellowstone,
right,
the great national park.
Which we all remember was modelled, Jellystone Park from
Yogi Bear
was modelled on Yellowstone Park.
Yeah, not the other way around.
That's when I first learned about bears.
From Yogi Bear.
I liked honey and they'll steal your food. And they don't wear pants.
And I think people listening go, that would be the depth of yours and my research on these things. So in Yellowstone National Park, a man kicked a bison in the leg and was ejected from the park after, in return, one of the bison kicked the man back.
Which seems fair play.
Now, kicking a bison, because they're huge.
They're incredible.
They're incredibly big.
They're a wild animal.
They apparently arrested the man and jailed him. This is the park rangers. And treated him for minor injuries. They got a call where someone reported a man was allegedly harassing a bison herd and kicking one of them 11 kilometres inside the park's west entrance. They stopped the man in the car driven by another person and they pulled him over and got him. He was a 37-year-old and he was charged with driving under the influence. So I just wanted to ask, are you sure you haven't been to Yellowstone?
Right. Who hasn't wanted to kick a bison? I mean, honestly.
That's a big night out.
That's a big night out. Maybe he thought it was his emotional support bison. So what, bison is a wild animal, and you see a bit of this. I think people forget sometimes, like in this Instagram age, that even if you're on safari, they're wild animals.
Yeah.
So there's a famous Instagram shot of a girl in Africa who gets out of the car to take a Instagram selfie with a rhino. And you can see the rhino standing behind her going, what are my options? I'm a rhino. I have to gore.
Yeah.
And then they say moments later the woman was gored to death. But she just jumped out. So this guy's probably thinking it's a show. Oh, great, the bison are here.
Or the bison aren't entertaining him enough. So he's got out to give him a bit of a kick to get him moving.
That's incredible. But
this is the thing, right? Like, there's a whole episode for us in people taking selfies with animals.
With animals and coming a cropper.
Coming a cropper. But this one, let's say bisons, they're the largest land mammal in North America. The bulls weigh up to 2,000 pounds or 900 kilograms. So that's like,
it's a bison.
It's like a car.
Yeah, that's right.
So despite their size, bison can sprint up to 65 kilometres an hour.
Don't you hate hearing that about animals, that you go, they've got every other advantage. Oh, at least I can run away from it. No, you can't.
No, you can't. It's going to absolutely.
It's the same with the hippo.
Yeah.
The hippo can get up to 40, 50 k's
and
on land.
And that's the most dangerous animal
on land.
In Africa, basically.
Is it ever?
So they can sprint up to 65 kilometres an hour. Apparently, they regularly injure tourists who get too close at Yellowstone. Because people do exactly what you're saying. They think, if you leave them alone, you're fine. But people get too close and think, we'll just go near it. Now, apparently the Yellowstone officials urge people to stay at least 25 yards or 23 metres away from all the large wildlife in the park. I'm sort of thinking, if they can go 65 kilometres or 40 miles per hour, I'm going to be further than 25. I'm going to need more than 25 yards.
It's like a 25-yard restraining order. That's not it. I need more.
I need longer.
If that guy's stupid enough to kick a bison, let's let natural selection play its role.
I think that's what's wrong with humanity. Not enough natural selection. We are living in a world where it's like, you know, this coffee may be hot is written on it and stuff. Like, what is
correct.
You don't take a selfie with a cobra. Like, really? We need to, like, are we?
Yes. You know. Oh, well, what have we learned here? That's what you do. You don't protect everyone.
We're stopping teaching moments.
That's right.
And we're not thinning the herd.
That said, if you were going to kick a wild animal, what one would you kick?
Well, do you want it to be dangerous or?
I think it's got to be dangerous. Otherwise, you're just being cruel.
You could kick a capybara and it would be.
You can't kick a capybara.
And you wouldn't.
You'd be
no,
fine.
No, you've got to pick something like a gorilla. Gorilla.
See, all the dangerous ones, you're not going to – I mean, you want one that there's a chance you could die, but there's also a chance you could get away. Like a crocodile? Could you outrun a crocodile?
You could kick a crocodile.
And possibly.
I know, crocodiles apparently are faster than a racehorse over the first 30 metres on land.
What if I – can they run in circles fast? Because I can run in circles.
Actually, I'd fact check that.
Yeah, I know.
Fact check what I just said. I could come a cropper on that one. But they are incredibly explosive.
Oh, they are. I mean, I could probably kick and get away if it wasn't watching when I get the kick off.
Could you kick
it? I just need to make it to a tree, really. That's all I'm
hey, what about those animals you think you're safe when you get to the tree but they can climb trees? Bears.
I would have thought a bear could climb a tree, though.
I wouldn't have.
Wouldn't you? No,
I would have thought it'd be safe there. Thing you know, bugger me.
I'd be pretty confident a hippo can't climb a tree.
You wouldn't kick a hippo?
I would never kick a hippo. You can put that on my gravestone. He'd never kick a
giraffe.
Oh, yeah, giraffe. But once again, giraffes, I mean, I suppose they could trample you or kick you, but they're not. It's a bit like kicking a capybara, I feel.
A snake, but you have to be quick.
Maybe if you kicked it fast. I don't know. I don't know if this is – when we came up with this idea of a podcast,
well,
I don't think it was an idea to just talk about what animals would
someone
kick.
Kicked a bison. Did you see the footage in America, the bull that jumped the fence at a rodeo and got into the crowd? This happens once every so often. And it's gone bonkers. And then it's got out of the ground. It's actually like in the car park where people are just standing around oblivious to the fact there's a –
they don't know.
So there's
the
three guys
loose,
standing
yeah.
outside a hot dog stand and someone – stupid enough to wear red to a rodeo, gets absolutely skittled and bowled.
Are they all right?
But well, what's funny about the footage is they have no idea.
The bull's there.
One guy is sitting there eating a hot dog, talking to his friends. The next minute he's 25 feet in the air going, what the hell? It was a sneak attack.
See, my favourite thing is in these ones is in this one of the guy that kicked the bison, it's always in the police reports. Of the charges that tell a story of the night, right?
Yes.
So in this it says, the 37-year-old was charged with driving under the influence and failing to yield to a police car and disturbing wildlife.
And disturbing
so
wildlife,
they've kicked
which is
a bison.
Polite way of putting kicking a bison.
Yeah, they've kicked a bison and then got injured.
Yeah.
Then they've got in the car drunk and when the police have showed up, they've tried to outrun the cops.
Oh, but he's had a shocker. He is out of shock.
That is a series of bad decisions. That's a bad night out.
Man, he's going to feel a lot of remorse when he wakes up in the morning. There you go, Yellowstone. What else is Yellowstone famous for?
Well, it's a huge volcano.
It's a huge volcano and it's got
under the ground.
Hasn't it got those springs?
That's why it has the springs because of the there's a huge super volcano that will blow up one day and wipe out America.
Well, that's cheery.
A lot of our stories, the more I think about it, are about natural selection, right? People doing silly things.
Yes.
So this is in Australia. We have spoken regularly about, and people around the world know this about Australia, the level of dangerous snakes.
Sure.
You were talking recently about, you know, a lot of the first Australians, the Indigenous people, even they really
respect,
treat the snakes with respect more than any other animals out there. I should say, if you're in suburban Australia, which most people in Australia actually are, they're not a daily threat. People kind of think they are. Medical experts in Australia, though, have had to start pleading, it says, with snake bite victims to stop bringing the actual snake in with them to the hospital.
Okay. Now, I can tell you why they're doing that.
I know why they are, but you explain it to people why they would be bringing the snake with them.
It's so you can choose the right antivenom,
right? That's
right. Is that right?
So identifying the snake
is
key.
But I was told that too. So I get what they're saying because we're told you need to identify the snake so that they can give you the right – because the wrong antivenom, I think, could kill you. So when you come in and you're on your last legs, and let's be honest, if it's a tiger or a brown
– you don't have forever.
The clock's ticking. So you need to make some pretty smart and fast decisions. I'm suggesting catching and bringing the snake with you might not be the one.
It bit me 47 times once and then the next 46 me trying to put it into a container to bring it into you.
So do you know what? What the?
So Dr. Adam Michael, who is the director of emergency medicine at Bundaberg Hospital in Queensland, said a snakebite victim came in earlier this month with a highly venomous eastern brown snake in a poorly secured plastic container.
Yeah, that's not good.
The staff got a fright, and the serious consequences of that is it delayed people's time to treatment. We want people to be able to get seen and assessed quickly, and having a live snake in the department slows up that process. I would say it would slow up. It tends to distract from
that's
what you're trying
good.
To do.
That's like that radio game, you know, where they, you know, radio poker, four cowboys will sit around a card table playing poker and then they release a bull.
Oh, you're in the middle of the ring.
And
yeah,
so the
yeah.
bull runs out and it sees four guys run past it, and whoever's the last to move gets the kitty.
Yeah.
So it's just it's a battle of chicken with a bull.
Yeah.
But and that would be the same thing about trying to do surgery with a snake in the studio. You'd be going, what the hell?
I just came in with a broken arm.
Well, a friend of mine, Luke Darcy, had a party for his children.
Mm.
And one of the guests for the party was like a Macca, the snake handler.
Oh, yeah.
So he's come in. He had a whole heap of exotic
They have
animals,
that for kids' parties, don't they?
Lizards, and they've got an iguana. He's got some snakes, and the kids get to pet them, and it's petting zoo. Anyway, he leaves, and then about 3 hours later, there's a ding dong. It's the Luke. So he goes, "Oh mate, I seem to be a snake down. I seem to be a snake down. Can I have a look around?" Luke said, "Yeah." He goes, "Look, I can't find it, but if it turns up, give us a bell." So. For the next couple of nights, he's sitting there watching 60 Minutes thinking there's a snake in the... What an unnerving
How do you get
situation.
The kids to sleep?
Well...
No kid's sleeping if they know there's a snake on the loose.
Snake on the loose.
And that wouldn't have been a venomous one. That would have been probably like...
Yeah, but it's enough.
I know.
it's enough to put you off your game, isn't it? There's a live snake in the house. Good night. By the way... We need to say, and I mean, this is my community service announcement.
Yeah.
To anyone out there, if you meet someone and you go back to their house and they have pet snakes, get out of there. It's a deal breaker. It's a red flag.
It's not cool.
If you meet someone on Tinder and they go, "Why don't you come back to my place?" And you go in and there's a couple of snakes behind glass, temperature controlled cases, get out of that house.
Yeah.
It's as simple. Yeah. There's no second date. There's no follow-up. There's no make yourself comfortable.
Yeah.
Get out of that
It's a
house.
Red flag.
If I was writing a character for a film and I wanted him to be a completely unhinged,
or like
untrusted,
a serial killer or
potentially
something.
Potentially dangerous person,
yeah.
I'd have a jet ski in the driveway and a snake and a snake in the house. You know all you need to know about that guy.
The old jet ski snake
combo.
Jet ski
snake combo. Who's not,
throw in a pit bull. It's on. Dr. Jeff Isbister, a clinical toxicology researcher at the University of Newcastle, said he'd heard of several cases where snake bite victims brought the snake with them when seeking treatment, which I get why, but maybe a photo is better. But anyway, he says it's pretty dangerous because no one in the hospital will be able to identify it, he says often. That's the other problem, right? You bring it in thinking you're helping.
What am I supposed to do with that?
And then he said, if that snake gets out in the emergency department, that becomes a huge disaster. So apparently, Mick, and this actually clarifies what we were talking about whether anti-venom's dangerous or not or whatever, apparently you don't need to bring the snake in, and here's why. This is what Dr. Jeff Isbister says he's a toxicology researcher. He says, so I'm just making that point again because, you know, it's not me giving you this advice. He says hospital staff are not identified to train snakes, but they can perform tests to determine whether a bite victim needs an anti-venom. So there's apparently tests they can do. Right. So that's how they do it. Professional snake catcher Jonas Murphy, that's one where I think you're allowed to have a snake.
If you're a snake catcher.
If you're a professional snake catcher. He says he's been called out to Bundaberg Hospital on multiple occasions to relocate snakes brought in by patients. That relocate word there terrifies me. You are risking a follow-up bite and you're putting everyone around you in danger as well. Snakes are one of those things that scare a lot of people. We definitely don't want them in a hospital.
There's a lot of quotes here that are stating what I feel like is the bleeding obvious.
It's happened so many times. It's got a code named after it. We've got a code purple. Oh, another snake.
And all the patients like, what's a code purple? Oh, don't worry. But you might want to just lift your feet off the floor.
But imagine being a snake catcher. So you just mentioned that, like, that's his job. I get called out. Now, we've all had a bad day at the office, right, where you kind of, you're not quite, how many times you come
home? You're a bit off.
How's your day? Well, it wasn't great. Have one of those as a snake catcher and you're cooked.
Yeah, that's right.
How's your day? Oh, not great.
Got bit in the eye.
I got bitten, spent 4 hours in intensive care.
And how I brought the snake with me and they didn't even seem to appreciate it. I had to catch my own snake.
You need to have 100% track record at work if you're a snake catcher. Imagine your equipment trials. Oh, there's a hole in my Hessian bag. That's a game changer.
Yeah. And I think, though, snake catchers, after listening to this, they won't like you after telling no girls to date them.
A story I heard, and was told to me by our friend Limo, and he saw it on one of these current affair shows. There's a couple of blokes, and they were driving to Kununurra, up in the Kimberley.
Yeah.
They're driving about 300 km.
So real outback Australia.
Real outback. Those, this is hardcore. This hardcore is ground zero for outback, rustic Australian conditions.
Yeah.
And they go to the Kununurra Hotel, which is a famous hotel. Tony Lockett.
Famous AFL player.
Famous AFL player. And Paul Kelly, his captain, were two Sydney Swans footballers.
Yeah.
Had gotten a big fight at the Kununurra Hotel. Mm. And I remember reading the story.
Tell me in a fight with player Lockett.
Now, up there, they're pretty good. It's probably the only place that'd have a serious crack at him and get away with it. But they were up there and got in a fight, and it was reported. And I remember reading the article, and at the end of it, it said Paul Kelly was on his honeymoon with his nearly midget wife. And I'm going, why is Tony Lockett on your honeymoon, and why are you on a fishing trip? That's a good woman.
Yeah.
That is a good woman.
Yeah.
So these guys, these truckies, they're driving in the state to go to a bucks party at the Kununurra Hotel. On the highway, they see it's a King Brown or something like that. They go, oh, this will be a pisser. What we'll do is we'll catch the King Brown, and when we get to the Kununurra Hotel, we'll chuck it into the pub.
Because they're insanely venomous.
But they're really, really the mulga snake. It's really hardcore.
Yeah.
And they're pissed as parents. Anyway, the guy gets out, gets the King Brown on the road, and puts it into a Hessian sack. And they go, this will be a beauty. So when we get there, you open the door, I'll chuck the snake in. It'll be hilarious. The snake's getting a bit uppity. So he keeps putting his hand inside the bag and trying to
calm the snake.
It cuts to the point where he's telling the story on camera. And he's going, oh, mate. And I got there and it was causing trouble. So it's bit me about 30 times. But, you know, it wasn't matter. Anyway, then we get there. And mate opens the door and I throw it in. They all scatter. Oh, it's piss funny. And then they widen out and he's in a wheelchair with one leg and one arm. Oh, mate, you had to be there. It was piss funny.
It was worth it. Now, that is commitment to a joke.
That's a practical joke, that is.
We talk about comedians, you've got to commit to the bit. That guy has committed to that joke on a level.
But apparently we're so drunk and it was biting him. We couldn't even.
That's amazing.
Oh, mate, there's got to be a pisser. But even the idea, if he had pulled it off, chucking a King Brown into a crowded bar is not a great funny thing to do.
The thing about that too is even after it's gone really pear-shaped for him, he still is amused by the joke.
He's like, oh, mate, he's a pisser.
He goes, look, you know what? It was worth it.
You had to be there.
You had to be there. I don't think you had to be there for the King Brown being thrown. Right. How's he going to hit bit 30 times?
He just kept putting his hand in, but how's he not dead?
I
think because he was drunk and maybe that slowed down his circulation. I don't know. Maybe because they got there in time. But, I mean, clearly afterwards in the cold
light of day. All his mates have not covered themselves in glory either. Like, your mate's been bit 30 times and you go, sorry, mate, we've got to go through with this prank. We could take you to the hospital, but we've got to swim by the pub first and throw this in there.
Yeah, well, that's what they do up there. They're a bit. What about the guys who are on another bucks party and they were on the Yellow River or one of those rivers up there and they needed to swim across the river and they knew there were crocodiles in there. His mate swims over to the other side and then he's forgotten something. And so he swims back, and this stage of car, and mate, his mates tell the story going, oh, yeah, he really copped it. He just got eaten by a crocodile. They go, oh, mate, we saw him turn around. We went, oh, no.
Classic Davo.
Classic Davo. He's coming back the other way. Well, you're not going to believe it. Chomp. He bit in half. Listen, don't have your bucks party in a Kimberley. Have it.
To boot at home, can I read you one that please. I found just jogged my memory of being under the influence? Yeah. All these people making bad decisions. Yes. It's not just humans making things. I want to read the headline of this story first.
Yes.
Sheep start behaving strangely after eating 100 kilos of cannabis in greenhouse. So apparently in Greece they've legalized medical marijuana right. back in 2017 or something, right? Which where hasn't these days, yeah. you know? Apparently this flock of sheep found their way into this greenhouse in Greece and sat there and ate more than 600 pounds, over 100 kilos of marijuana plants that were being grown for medical use. Yanis Bouranis, owner of the greenhouse, said his crop had already been damaged by heat and recent flood when this flock of sheep walked in and ate pretty much everything left there. He told the local news when he found the sheep, they were jumping higher than goats.
That's hilarious.
I love just, he said it's destroyed the entire crop. I just love finding the jumping.
Okay, you lot. What's been going on here then?
What sort of shenanigans?
What have you been doing? Nothing. Have you been in the shed? No.
Then why are you jumping over the shed?
Why are you eating a kebab? And why is it lamb? Well, that is a great story. Imagine their wool could be quite like a hemp.
Oh, yeah.
Actually shave those.
Why does your jumper smell of marijuana? Oh, it's all right. The sheep ate 100 kilos of cannabis. Really? Really? Is that really what happened?
Good on them.
Well, on that note,
all right.
Let's go to 7-Eleven.
I would suggest there's a little bit of fact-checking to go on in there. I may have made a couple of claims I can't support.
Well, I'm looking forward to. I mean, we like this with everything we say. When our we members with our bonus episodes, they fact-check us often.
And please don't take offence to the bit where we said, which animal would you like to kick? We were talking about wild animals.
You were more saying what could you think I could get away with?
Well, you get away with not get killed. I'm saying it's a fair, not a fair fight.
Don't
a hamster.
I would suggest don't kick a hamster, but also don't kick a buffalo. In fact, I would refrain from kicking all animals, except in the case you're being attacked by one and they started it. That might be the only time. Like if a shark comes for me, I'm going to try and kick it. Don't you think?
Well, you punch it in the face, mate.
Everyone says that like they're going to be so calm. And then I see the videos of when sharks come up really quickly on a boat and I just go, yeah, I'm dead. You know what I mean? Everyone says things like this is like when Sam Pang told you if a bear attacks you, you take all your clothes off.
And I guess you walk backwards while taking all your clothes off.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to confuse.
He's answered everything. If you like More Bizarre, and why wouldn't you want things to get more bizarre, you can become a Bizarre Plus member. As a Bizarre Plus member for Sports Bizarre and Animal Bizarre, on top of that, you'll get a weekly bonus podcast every single week. You get access to all the past bonus episodes as well, and there's lots of those now. And you get access to our members-only chat room. You can help vote on future episodes. And, of course, you get early access to any live tickets. Bizarre Plus, the link is in the show notes. We'd love to have you on board.